Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 58 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou, and the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast is now sponsored by MenuMinder. MenuMinder.com is the best place to find restaurants in Chicago. Search for whatever you're in the mood to eat and view complete menus online, all in one place, plus a whole lot more. MenuMinder, find food for your mood. Don't forget also you can visit us on Facebook where you can become a fan. Leave us wonderful messages as you've been doing, so thank you a bunch for those. And as always, you can send email to us at podcasts@pause.com to give us suggestions, comments, helpful hints for home video, and what else?
Critiques.
And didn't you also want life stories?
Oh, life stories. We want life stories.
Tony really wants life stories. He's hoping to kind of turn this whole thing into a reality show at some point, so he needs your life stories. Just don't make them too depressing.
I kind of want people to, you know, without being too serious, ask for advice so that it, some way I can feel like a puppet master.
Ooh, you like that idea.
That's really all I've ever wanted.
I'm surprised you've never tried to get into the whole shadow government thing. That's where all the good puppet masters end up, from what I understand. Not that I have any direct experience.
This is a stepping stone to that.
There you go. Do you have any listener mail or anything like that you'd like to read?
Well, Jason has commented that, and I think that you've put him up to this, that Weird Al is in fact brilliant.
See? I told you. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the backup there.
I still think that you and Jason may be in the minority.
No. If my friend Jerry is listening, which I don't know if he is because he's always so busy, he would totally back me up on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird Al is brilliant.
So your imaginary friends would totally back you up on this.
That is not true.
We also got a little note from Mike. Wait, let's first apologize for the delay.
Yeah.
We've both been very busy with various projects.
Exactly.
And so
that's some of which are more fun than others.
So Mike had sent us a little message on Facebook in which he has taken the name of this segment, Fred, and melded it into Dear F.D. Thompson.
But now you're not really.
I'm not promoting that.
Okay, you're not going to promote that. We're just going to stick with Fred.
I am not a fan
right
of F.D. Thompson, so.
We need at least two votes on a name change.
Right.
Maybe we should make it three.
With no votes against. Because right now, if Mike is voting for F.D. Thompson, my vote against F.D. Thompson
canceled it out. Right. So a negatory vote will cancel out a pository vote.
But Mike wanted to know about the delay. He wanted to know if it was the Weird Al poll or the Corey Haim tribute that was taking us so long.
Actually, it was kind of a little of both, don't you think?
Yeah. And we will get to the Corey Haim tribute later in the podcast.
Now that we've already covered the Weird Al poll. I got a nice message from Yvonne who talked about the fact that she got her husband a PS3 for their fourth anniversary because apparently that was considered an appliance by them. So there you go.
It does everything.
That's what I hear from you mostly. She wants to know if we have any suggestions for what game to get him.
After midnight tonight, God of War 3.
So there you go, right there.
Which I can't wait. I'm almost, you know what? I haven't gone to buy anything at midnight because, you know, early release in years. You know, the last time I did that, I think, is when the original Star Wars movies came out on DVD.
Yeah.
And remember that box set that came out?
Yeah, the terrible one.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah. I didn't like it because it wasn't the original versions.
Right.
It was that only the, I didn't like that.
Right.
And I think they released them later. With both, right? With the special editions and the original
versions?
They
may have. Yeah. They may have. But that was the last time I ever went to buy anything at midnight. But then I'm thinking, unless I'm working, I'm rarely awake at midnight. So really, I'll go get the game and then I'll come home and go to bed. So
yeah, yeah. What's the point?
I'll just pick it up tomorrow. But I'm very excited about it.
And then she also complained a little bit about the wrap-up music at the Academy Awards. And she makes a good point. I mean, I know a lot of people have a problem with that, thinking that it's kind of rude. But beyond rude, what she says is that, you know, but come on, these people worked for years on these projects and an Oscar is the pinnacle of their career. Give them more time, which I think is a good point.
I agree.
And then she also wanted to know if either of us have seen NBC's Parenthood. I have not seen that.
I have not seen it either.
Because
it's gotten pretty good reviews, though.
Really? It looks like exactly the kind of show I would hate.
Well, the commercials, I mean, if it's supposed to be a comedy, the commercials aren't funny.
No, they're not funny.
And to be honest, Craig T. Nelson looks a little annoying in it.
I don't know. But there's some dude with like long shaggy hair and like kind of a werewolf smile. You know who I'm talking about? That they always show in the commercials. And he looks like he would just annoy me.
Dax Shepard?
I don't know.
That's probably who.
I don't know. But yeah, it looks like kind of like how humor in Star Trek is not really funny. It's like Star Trek funny.
Right.
This looks like humor that's not really funny. It's like TV dramedy funny.
Right.
And I don't really want to watch a show like that. It looks too much like Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, because there's a Gilmore Girl in it.
That aside, I mean, it just looks like that type of show.
Right.
Like, I just wouldn't think anything in there is very funny. But anyway. So thanks, Lori, for
but
that.
I will check it out.
Or sorry, Yvonne. Sorry. I don't know why I said Lori. I'm getting confused here. Do you have any other?
Does Lori have something to say?
No, I don't.
Then why would you come up with Lori?
I don't know. I saw something on my screen that said something about somebody named Lori.
Are you on Lori's page on your screen?
I'm not on Lori's page.
He's so nervous right now.
I'm not
nervous. He's up to something.
No, I'm not. I'm not up to anything. I'm not part of any shadow government that you know of. I also got a... Do you have any more?
No.
Okay. I also got a message from Mike, who wanted to know if we had seen the news that following the December 2010, that would be December of this year, release of Tron Legacy, you know, the new Tron movie, that Disney is planning to launch an animated TV version.
Yeah, I reported on that last week.
Oh, I must have forgotten. Sorry. That was my turn to fall asleep.
You constantly accuse me of not listening to your segments and forgetting things we've
Hey, I'm working the controls
before.
Over here. I got two puppet mastery things going on. Yeah. I got the shadow government that I'm not officially a part of, and I also got working the controls for the podcast. This takes a lot of concentration.
Okay.
Because once I get everything set up, I have to press record, and then I have to not unpress record until we're done.
Right.
And that takes a lot out of a guy. I'm just saying.
Yes.
So that's all we have for listener feedback this week. So thanks to those of you who wrote in again, and keep them coming.
Yes, please keep them coming.
Do you want to get right into talking about video games? Okay. I'm just going to start off by saying I haven't played anything new. I really have been so busy. Really until the last, I would say, 2 or 3 days, I have not had a chance to do anything new. And then the last 2 or 3 days, I actually got to relax a little and saw a couple of movies, which we'll talk about later. Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about that.
I didn't even look ahead to see what you've seen.
I've barely played World of Warcraft at all, and I haven't gone back to either...
Bioshock.
Thank you, Bioshock 2.
You don't even know what you're playing anymore.
Or Mass Effect 2. I haven't played Mass Effect 2 in probably a month now.
Where if you don't play a game in a long time, you almost consider starting from the beginning because... You'll be a little lost.
It depends on how far into it I am. If I feel like I'm halfway through it, I probably won't do that.
Because, you know, I never finished Batman Arkham Asylum, and I really want to because I really enjoyed it, but I really don't remember all the mechanics of it that I'm almost tempted, but I'm pretty far into it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a struggle to me where I don't even go back to it because I'm like, do I really want to start from the beginning and go through all that again?
And
do I really want to sit down with it and try to learn it again? Because I know I'm at a part right now that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
So to just jump in and not really know the mechanics.
Probably a little frustrating. Yeah. And don't you feel that, too, as you get older, that's one of the biggest differences in playing games versus when you were younger, is that it's much harder to jump from game to game to game with different mechanics, at least for me, than it used to be when I was younger.
Right.
Like, it didn't really bother me as much. And now it's kind of like, I kind of almost see it as work, like, I got to relearn this whole thing. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, I agree.
That's why, again, going back to Half-Life 2, the more games that will use those kind of simple mechanics, the better, because then you don't have anything to relearn.
Right.
So...
you want me to just jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I finished Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
And let me say, the story was great. There was a twist at the end that I didn't see coming.
Wow.
So as like a movie and a story, it was really entertaining.
You know what's funny about that, though, is that a lot of times in games you profess to not enjoy the story as much as the game, but was it because it wasn't
leading?
Well, here,
you have to, I mean, it's all about
the
story.
But that's why I'm surprised you wanted to play it as much as you did.
Well, you know, part of it was, you know, it's a $60 game and to just give up on it when really it's, you know, it's only got a certain, it's a movie is what it is.
Yeah,
so it's only gotten a certain amount of time. So why wouldn't I just finish
exactly.
it? And it, you know, the story was good in that I wanted to know how it ended.
Right.
Now I did go back, you know, because there are different endings based on your decisions.
Yeah, right.
So I went back and played through the last couple scenes to see like a couple different endings, and it was cool how they handled that.
Yeah,
because it was completely different.
Oh, that is cool.
So
now, how would you compare that experience to the experience of seeing the movie Clue?
You know, probably similar.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Did you see all the different endings?
No, I just saw the one.
I never saw it.
But I remember I worked at a movie theater at the time.
Yeah.
And people would call, you know, because it was endings A, B, or C. People would call and ask, you know, which ending we were showing.
Yeah.
And I want to say that we had two different endings on, because I think the it was just a different reel.
Right.
So, you know, we had two of the different three endings.
Right.
So, like, I'd have to know which ending was showing that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, speaking of which, do you know anybody who works at a movie theater currently?
I don't know any 16-year-olds currently, no.
Okay, I was just checking. Because we went to the movies the other night, and my wife was asking a question about, like, if they move the movies around, you know, from showing to showing into different theaters, because we were talking about, like, the size of the theater that you get and how it's annoying when you go to see a new movie, especially a big movie that's in a tiny little theater.
Right.
And I was saying that I don't think they ever do that because, you know, obviously with the film, they're on these big platters and it takes quite a while to set up. They do in between showing. Yeah. But wouldn't it also mess up the timing to move it from one
theater? Oh, you mean like a different showing?
That same day. Like,
who
it's
does
in
that?
No, that's what she was wondering. Was would it be in theater 13 for the 5 o'clock and theater 27 for the 7 o'clock?
Oh, I don't know that they ever do.
Yeah,
that.
And I wouldn't think that either. But what I was wondering is if with the digital ones, if they can do that. I don't know how that works. Is it just a hard drive?
I don't know.
That they get sent, or did they download it?
I do not know.
So that's why I was.
Do you want to ask me another question that I do not know?
I'm sure there will be many.
Wow!
I'm just saying.
I've also started playing another game that I got from Gamefly.
Oh no!
That I wanted to try out,
and
I'm enjoying it.
Really?
Assassin's Creed 2.
Now, how far into the first one did you get? Because I got
not very far.
I got like maybe three or four missions into it. Not missions, but like three or four chapters into it. And it seemed like the entire game was going to be exactly the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. And
is there a lot of that now, too?
You know, I'm not that far into it.
Okay.
Probably. But there's a movement mechanic in this one that wasn't in the other one, where you go into this. I forgot what they call it now. I'm a little embarrassed. But you go into this mode where you can, like, scale.
Is it Cloak and Dagger mode?
No, but I like that. Oh. Where you can, like, you know, scale up buildings.
Spider-Man mode?
No.
Sticky foot mode. Suction cup mode.
I'm surprised no one writes in and says, why doesn't Lou ever let Tony talk?
Actually, people have written in about that.
Oh, really? I haven't heard those emails.
Just one person, and it was a long time ago.
No, there's a certain mode you can go into where you can, like, grab bars or, like, scale buildings and just, like, jump from building to building, and, like, it's very acrobatic.
Yeah.
And it's the most fun part of the game so far.
Maybe it's the Mirror's Edge mode.
Well, that's what it's like, only not in the first person point of view.
Is it faster? Because one of the things that I didn't like about the first one was you walked really slow.
Yeah, no, it's faster.
Yeah. And the repetition just became a little boring.
Yeah, I'm not really to a point yet where there's been repetition. Here's my problem with it, and I kind of remember it with the first one. You know, there's so many things you have to do, and the control schemes are all different for them.
They change.
I can't keep them. I mean, there is a little helpful thing on the top that tells you, you know.
Yeah.
Do this to do this, but do I really want to play a full game where I got to keep looking at the top of the screen to see what I have to do?
No.
As far as the control layout, I mean, there's just too many, like, you know, press at the same time the left shoulder button and the B button.
Like that stuff. It's so, button mashing.
Yeah.
And on the PC,
well, not even so much mashing. It's just so many different, like, button combos that I'm sure at one point I'd remember them, but. You know.
Yeah. Again, I think that kind of goes back to sort of poor game design. It's like, if you can't figure out how to make the controls for driving an ATV fairly similar to the controls for just walking and running around, then you're doing something wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? They shouldn't be that different. And I certainly don't see the need to have a completely different set of controls for, like, each different type of activity that you're doing. I remember finding that kind of annoying in the first one too, and especially because there were certain things that in certain control configurations did something that was like a, like, let's say, you know, some kind of a boon, and in other control configurations was something that was a bad thing.
Right.
And if I forgot which configuration I was using at the time, I would hit the bad thing, and all of a sudden all these people would start attacking me, because it was like what I did was, you know, take off my disguise and go blah, 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 in front of everybody. It's like, well, I didn't really mean to do that, you know. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And did you ever have that happen in the first one? Or in this one?
Not so far, no.
Yeah. It's coming, trust me.
But I, you know, to be honest, being honest here,
yeah,
God of War 3 comes out tomorrow. I don't
so you
know.
Don't care about anything.
Well,
else.
I don't know how much I'm gonna, you know, get back into this one. Like, I've at least tried it, and I'm enjoying it. And I really, I have to say, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Even more beautiful than the first one.
Wow. First one. And the first one I thought was really nice looking.
This one, though, I mean, just with, you know, it takes place in Italy, so it's very.
Oh, okay.
It's very. Like,
are Italians known to have a lot of assassins?
Apparently back in that time, yeah.
Oh. Which time? Is it the same time as the other one?
No.
Because that was sort of like, you know, Arabian Nights kind of thing.
Right. No, this is a different time.
Would you like to tell us what time it is?
When I make faces at you, that means don't ask the time.
I told you there would be many more, didn't I? See?
That's all I have.
All right. Yeah, and like I said, I haven't played anything new.
Ready for some miscellaneous then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sony showed the PS3's upcoming motion controller at the Game Developers Conference last week. The PlayStation Move, which is the new name,
okay,
will be released just before holiday time, along with 20 games slated to be released by year's end. The Move bundles were announced as well, with the starter kit coming in under $100.
Now, they actually showed it last year, right? Because isn't that where...
They showed it at E3.
Oh, E3, right.
But this is where they really showed it, like,
and it's actually done, and doesn't look so much like a marital aid anymore.
No, it still does.
Oh, okay.
It's still got this ball on the top of it. But there's a companion piece, much like a nunchuck, though they don't want you to call it that. You know, like the Wii has.
Right.
And they were saying that the bundle you want to get with this, because a lot of games will use this, is the... Oh, someone didn't turn their phone off. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The bundle piece you want to get is the one with the eye toy, which is the little camera.
Okay.
And then... because then it'll... be able to track your movements better, and you can actually be immersed in the game.
Right. That makes more sense. And iToy doesn't at all sound like a marital aid. So, you know, they're really scoring high on that front.
It's EYE.
Oh, sorry. All right.
Ready to move on?
Yes, please.
I think you'll like this next. Okay. Well, I don't know how I feel about this.
I haven't read ahead, so this is all a surprise.
A newcomer now holds the title as the King of Kong.
No.
Yes.
No.
Hank Chien, a New York plastic surgeon, has beaten the Donkey Kong high score most recently held by Billy Mitchell.
Now, wouldn't you be a little bit nervous if you're one of his clients? Like, oh, God, did he drop a quarter in me when he was fixing my face or something like that? I mean,
He'd have good hand-eye coordination, so I guess
I hope so.
It would give me a little more confidence in him.
You know what's so funny is, you know, we've talked about trying to get Steve Wiebe on the show. This might make it easier.
Unless he's busy now.
In fact, just last night I was doing some research trying to find interviews where they had talked about the process of making that documentary, and I didn't find the information I was looking for, but yeah, maybe... maybe this will be good incentive for
you. I actually was listening to Steve Dahl's podcast the other day, and he was saying that he loves documentaries, and people keep calling in or writing in to give him documentaries to watch.
Yeah.
And he says to this day that's his favorite documentary.
Yeah, it's probably the best one that I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know what else I would put up right up there is that Walking with Dinosaurs. That was so well done.
Uh-huh.
I forget. You've never seen that, right? It's really good. Really good. Oh. Very cool.
I don't know how you're going to feel about this one. A browser-based Battlestar Galactica MMO will be released during the fall of this year.
Anytime you say browser-based anything,
that would be the deal breaker for you.
Because doesn't that mean, first of all, that it's probably Flash?
Oh, I don't know. There's not many details about it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it wouldn't have to be. But yeah, I'm not crazy about that whole idea. Anyway.
As I hinted at last week, Portal 2 has been confirmed by Game Informer for a fourth quarter release.
That is so cool.
Yes, and... if anyone can get a hold of that issue of Game Informer, get it, because there's a long article about it, and it's really, really cool.
And Tony just gave me his copy of it for me to read, and I haven't looked at it yet. But
Read it, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll see if we can get some more info on it, too.
Some insider info, maybe?
Sure, insider info.
I like that.
From insiders in the know.
At a recent Microsoft...
This is one of the benefits of being a part of a shadow government unofficially.
Yeah, but you'd never say that.
No, I wouldn't.
At a recent Microsoft conference, a rep demonstrated how seamlessly Windows 7, the Xbox 360, and the new Windows Phone 7 platform will one day integrate. Very soon, we'll be able to play and save games across all three platforms.
See, that's very cool.
Very cool. So
I like
that. In the demonstration, he was playing a game on the Xbox. Then, you know, he... saved the game, stopped it, and continued it on his phone.
That is so cool.
That's so cool.
Wow. That's such a good idea.
And lastly, reputable sources.
I actually have something after this.
Oh.
I put it
second
in the...
second to lastly.
There you go.
Reputable sources are reporting that Robin and Catwoman will make appearances in the next Batman Arkham Asylum.
Aha. Now, are they going to be... Now, I forget. The in the current Arkham Asylum, the characters are not made to look like any real-world actors or anything like that.
Okay. More like the graphic novel.
Okay, okay. Any word on who's going to be doing their voices?
Well, that's how they found out. They saw like a casting list for the game and saw that Robin and Catwoman were listed on it.
Anybody?
But no.
Okay. The thing that I wanted to add is, you know, that video game streaming service OnLive that we've talked about before?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they are actually launching on June 17th, but it's a little bit different than they had originally talked about. First of all, initially it's only going to be on the Mac and PC. So you won't be able to play these games on your TV until maybe later this year, maybe next year. And it also seems like it's going to be really expensive. It's $15 a month, but then you also have to pay extra to buy or rent games. So it's not like Netflix or Gamefly where you know, I guess the only benefit is then you're not buying a console. But really, after a while, isn't the cost difference going to be not in your favor anymore?
Right.
If you're paying $15 a month plus game rental fees? I don't know. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
But anyway, we'll see what happens.
And there will be a console. If you're going to play it on your TV, they'll have to have some kind of console.
Well, right, but that part is not going to be available until later this year or early next year.
Right. So you're not even saving like space or anything. I mean, there's still going to be another component you're putting into your...
Yeah, but it's little. It's tiny.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a tiny thing. Oh. It's like the size of, you know, those AT&T, the DSL modems? Yep. They're like 4 inches by 4 inches by like an inch and a half. Right. I think it's going to be like that kind of thing.
I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
I don't
about?
Know.
Is this an opportunity for a That's What She Said joke?
It really was.
Okay.
I guess that was my That's What She Said.
You got to flesh it out.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
I think there was every pun intended.
So that's pretty much it for video games,
yeah.
Right? All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV. What would you like to start with?
Let's start with Lost.
Okay. By the way, remember when I thought that somebody referred to Flock and I was wondering if that was the girl who you thought looked kind of like Michelle Rodriguez?
Right.
Her character's name is actually Alana.
Right. And we got messages.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. Actually, Dorian had sent me a message and hold on, let me go to the Facebook page. Someone else had as well. I believe it was David. Let me check. Yes, it was David. Flock is actually Fake Lock.
Right, Fake Lock. You mentioned that last week. But yeah, her character's name is Alana, and the actor's name is Zuleika Robinson.
Uh-huh.
And she's British, but her ancestry, her like heritage is Burmese, Indian, Iranian, Scottish, and English. And her name is actually Persian.
Ah.
So probably not very related to Michelle Rodriguez.
No.
I'm guessing.
Right.
But there you go. So now I know who she is. Because I don't remember anyone ever saying her name. Although I think they may have... In this past episode, I think somebody may have actually said it.
Did you like this past episode?
I did kind of enjoy it.
I did too.
I thought it was really cool. And I, you know, it made me a lot more curious about where they're going with the alternate reality present because of how different Ben was.
Now, aren't you getting a little tired of how people are just randomly showing up in the alternate reality?
Like, it is kind of dumb.
I mean, it's getting to the point of like, oh, come on, a little bit too much of a coincidence there.
Well, which thing are you talking about?
Well, I mean, the whole his daughter, well,
We
knew it was never his daughter, but like that's one of his students, and then the other guy is also a teacher. And
but here's what I was wondering: why did he still on the island? Why did he still refer to her as his daughter?
Because he raised her.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, he knew that it wasn't his daughter. Everyone else knew that it wasn't his daughter. That it was, you know, crazy French woman's daughter.
Yeah, she looked she looked different. The daughter, she looked different.
She was clean.
Well, she was clean,
but
she also looked like she had lost a lot of weight,
which would be the opposite. Right.
Yeah, because if you're just eating fish and berries all day, you're probably not going to be as thin as if you're, you know, going to high school in California.
Right.
I'm just saying. Although California.
But I do like how on the island timeline, I do like how many of the roles are switching. You know, how Claire and Saeed are kind of like... turning to the dark side, and
right.
Here this was a big turning point for Ben, kind of turning to the good side.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go.
I'd like
with
to find out more about Jacob, because now this episode really made me think that maybe Jacob's intentions weren't, you know, so good after all.
Yeah, I've thought that too. Like, yeah. Are they tricking us? Is the who they think are the good people right. really the bad people right. and vice versa and all that kind of stuff? So, yeah, it'll be funny to see how it all plays out. Okay, American Idol was a complete...
I'm dreading this part
here. A complete disaster last week. Yeah. It was a complete disaster. It was absolutely the worst pre-top 12 elimination in the history of the show. Three of the best singers yep. of this season were cut.
Yes.
What is going on?
I don't know.
There was a good possibility that Lily could have won this season.
Definitely.
And she's gone.
She was in my top two.
She's gone.
Yeah.
And then Caitlin Epperly, who was also, I think, one of the better girls, she's gone.
Right. I mean,
and
there were definitely girls that could have gone.
Katie and Paige both should have been gone.
Why is Katie still on there?
Katie and Paige both should have been gone. It was ridiculous. And then Alex Lambert, no relation to Adam as far as I know, was also cut. And
yeah,
he's got,
you know, I feel bad for him, but I mean, he really, he needs a little more experience to work
out his
nerves. He does,
but he's got an awesome voice.
He does.
He's
so unique.
But
I don't
feel
bad for him. And I don't feel bad for Lily either, because I really think that they both have the talent that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just because you don't make it on American Idol doesn't
right.
mean that you don't have a career
right.
ahead
right.
of you.
But Lily said, you know, when she was cut, she's like, I don't know what America wants to hear. I thought I was giving you good performances, and I just don't get it. I don't get what you want. And I don't either.
They want Katie.
Apparently. Why? Because she has a Portuguese grandmother? Who cares? Do you care about that? I don't care about that.
And I love how you think that that's what's getting the votes.
I do think.
Oh, she has that Portuguese grandmother. Vote for her.
Well, I mean, they've kept playing that up in the quote unquote packages. But the thing is, it's like Katie has a good voice, but she is terrible at picking songs. She doesn't emote anything on stage. She doesn't bring any character to any of her performances. Right.
I'm going to go back to something I said earlier this year in that I think now, I mean, like, look at the top two from last year. I mean, do you really see a long career for either one of them? Chris Allen or Adam Lambert?
Definitely not Adam.
I mean, I don't see the prize as being all that.
I don't
that.
Think so. I think probably.
Right now, I view the prize rather than becoming a superstar. It's, yeah, you get to record an album.
Yeah.
So that's why I.
But that was always the prize. It was
yeah,
only,
I mean,
it
when
was
you
only
see what happened
that,
to Kelly Clarkson.
I know, but it was only because she happened to be as good as she is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it happened to a lot more of them. I mean, look at, you know, even the people who didn't win. I mean, look at
Daughtry.
Aiken. Clay Aiken still, I think, holds the record for the most
Yeah, of
albums.
Any male on the show or something like that.
Most what?
Of any male contestant.
Oh, I thought
on the
it
show.
Was like the most albums sold. Of
Period?
American Idol.
No,
like
no, no.
Single album sales.
No, it's Guy, because I'm sure Kelly sold more than he has.
Of a single album? I don't know. I'll look for that.
Yeah. But him and Kelly and Daughtry have all done really well.
Carrie Underwood has probably done better than any of them,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Also, all four of those. But I mean, you know.
But I mean, look at Taylor Hicks. Look at any of the recent ones.
Since Carrie Underwood, I think only David Cook has the potential to do more.
Yeah, but even him. And even Daughtry, let's be honest. His first album sold great. His second album didn't sell anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't really. It's not my kind of music, so I don't really follow that, but. But yeah, I don't know what people were thinking, but it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was really, really awful.
Simon's leaving just at the right time.
Yeah. You know, I will say, if nothing else, he seems to be able to spot good trends at
right.
the right time.
Right.
But anyway, so that was very extremely disappointing. And so now the top 12 starts, and now it's just one person leaving every week.
Right.
And hopefully that person will actually deserve to leave. Unlike what happened last Thursday. Okay, so Modern Family was, which episode was this?
The one where, why can I never remember characters' names? The gay couple? The one quit his job?
Oh.
What's his name?
Right.
I know Marshall is the other one.
Marshall is not the other one.
No, Marshall is the heavier one.
His name's not Marshall. What are you talking about?
So not only do I not know the characters' names, I make up the characters' names.
Marshall?
It's not Marshall?
No, where did you get Marshall from? It's not Marshall.
It should be Marshall.
No, it should not be Marshall. I don't think it's Marshall. Is
I
it?
I don't know. Go
no.
with that storyline.
Okay. So he quit his job because he wasn't getting to spend enough time. Because his boss kept calling him in on the weekends. And so he wasn't getting enough time to spend at home with, you know, with Mitchell. His family. Mitchell. It's Mitchell. Cameron and Mitchell. That's and Cameron. Right. Cameron. Marshall. Yeah, so Cameron quits his job. And then what was the other thing?
Well, the Phil and Claire storyline was that an old girlfriend had come to visit.
And this is, you know, this is one of the things that's great about Phil's character is he's so clueless across the board
right.
about stuff like this that it's so believable because I know people like that. Right. I know people who are clueless in that way. So
do you still think he's just
No, they've gotten much better with his writing.
Okay.
So what you were going to ask me is, do I still think he's just a ripoff of Michael right. Scott? But no, I think they've distinguished his character enough. Probably after about 4 or 5 episodes, I think
right.
he really started to not remind me of Michael anymore. But yeah, so this ex-girlfriend is in town. It's the girl he dated before he met Claire. And so he just thinks it's an innocent, hey, I'm in town, you know, let's see each other. And so Claire is very jealous of the whole thing. So she insists that the girl comes over to the house. And then Claire ends up really liking the girl. Meanwhile, not realizing that behind closed doors, she actually is there to try to get right. together with Phil again. And so Phil is all flustered by the whole thing. And it was actually really funny.
I love that one line where he's like, she wants me. And she's like, to do what? And he's like, it with her.
Yeah, that was really funny. And then what was also funny was then the girl got mad because she realized that he had been cheating on her with Claire. Right. And that's the reason that they broke up. Right. So it was pretty funny. And then what was the Jay and Gloria and Manny storyline?
I don't remember.
It was something really funny, though. Had to do with...
So funny that...
I know. I just, you know, my brain's been mush lately. I don't know what to tell you. But it was another solid episode. And you have got to go back and start watching Community. I'm telling you.
You can't make me do anything.
See, here we go. Was it Stritch who recommended that we have a whole segment based on this?
Oh, really?
There's the first half. Yeah, there's the first half of this week's episode or segment. And then The Office was...
There's two episodes we didn't talk about because we never talked about the baby episode.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Okay.
That has one of my favorite lines in recent years. Well, it's the episode where Pam has the baby.
Right.
And they don't want to have the baby till the following day because they want because of their insurance, they want an extra day in the hospital.
Yeah.
So they want to wait till midnight. And so they're, you know, she's going into labor, but they're trying to delay it. So. Yeah. So Michael comes up with like the top 10 things you're supposed to do to induce labor, and they're going to do the opposite. So one of the items was
eat spicy food.
Spicy foods. And Kevin's response is, let's put spicy food up her butt. I know I'm sophomoric, but that was really
it
funny.
It was really funny because how is that the opposite of eating spicy food?
Oh, I love it.
It was really funny. And then this week, one of the storylines was not only St. Patrick's Day, but Aaron and what's his name?
Andy.
Andy's first date.
You're just as bad as I am.
Yeah, Aaron and Andy's first date, which was really, really weird because Aaron was sick, but she wanted to pretend like she wasn't sick because she didn't want to blow off the date because she's been looking forward to it for so long. So Kathy Bates, you know, Joe, sends her home because she doesn't want everyone else to get sick. And so then Andy pretends to be sick. So he ends up going to her house. And so they're just like hanging out at her house. And then all of a sudden this guy comes out of one of the rooms and it's her foster brother who they make it seem like she has a very inappropriate relationship with. Right. I mean, they were like very touchy-feely with each other and he had his hand on the inside of her leg and stuff. Didn't you find that scene to be really creepy? Like really creepy.
Yeah.
And then when they go to like maybe kiss at the end and then the guy is like standing right behind her in the doorway, that was very uncomfortable.
You know, they've done a really good job, though, of kind of shifting, because I care about that budding relationship. So they've done a good job at, like, kind of moving the, you know, new relationship thing from Jim and Pam to them seamlessly.
Yeah, but you have to appreciate, too, Aaron's character, because the only reason you care about it is because of her.
Right.
Because
he's such
a doofus.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't like him the way, I mean, people don't
certainly has a much bigger heart now than when he first appeared on the show.
Yeah, but he's still as much of a doofus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was just angry at the beginning. Now he's
right.
just dumb and
but has good intentions.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely true. And then the other storyline was with Joe made some off-the-cuff remark to Michael, like, hey, if you're ever down in Florida, you got a place to stay. And he took it to heart, so he booked airfare to go down and spend time at her house. And then she had to kind of put the kibosh on that. So, but yeah, they were both good episodes, I thought. I also watched Chuck, and this was a good episode last week because Morgan finds out that Chuck is a spy. And so that was really cool to see how that whole thing played out. And it was a lot of fun, as always. And then I'm just going to mention Human Target again. We're really having a lot of
Who's
fun
on
watching
that show.
That show is Mark Valley, who was on Boston Legal, and he is also the dead boyfriend on Fringe, dead, you know, agent boyfriend. But he's really good, and it's a lot of fun. And what's his name? Rorschach from Watchmen is in it. He plays another one of their, like,
Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah, Jackie Earle Haley plays another one of their buddies. And it's just a lot of fun. Even it's got kind of a different feel to it than a lot of TV shows, and even the opening credits kind of bear that out a little bit. So, but it's if you like action, you know, adventure type TV shows, it's a good watch. You know, it's kind of light, doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's definitely fun. All right, so you want to go into miscellaneous stuff?
Yeah. Who's hold on.
Chai McBride.
I just found something out this week that really surprised me. Never mind.
You didn't.
No, I didn't find something out, and it didn't surprise me.
What are you talking about? How could you say that?
On
and then just say
miscellaneous. Okay, I was wrong.
All right.
This year's Oscar telecast was the highest rated in the last 5 years. I wouldn't say it was the most entertaining of the last 5 years.
No, I wouldn't. Either, I mean, I know the
Oscars. I mean, at this point, because we're doing this late, it was so long ago, we don't even really have to talk about
it. Might as well talk about next year's Oscars.
Right. Exactly. So yeah. Let's just comment, though. What did you think of Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin?
Well, considering I only saw the first 10 minutes.
Really all they appeared in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They should have used them more.
I thought, didn't we talk about this last time?
No, you and I talked about it over the phone, but no, we didn't.
Oh, that's
we
right.
Haven't done
that's
this.
Right,
we haven't
right.
done the
okay.
podcast since.
No, I thought they felt too scripted, but yeah. I, at the same time, I was impressed that Alec Baldwin's delivery was much better than Steve Martin's.
Right.
And I was also a little bit impressed with the writing as far as the topics of the jokes and how some of the jokes were written. Like, they were a lot less PC than I thought they would be. And I kind of appreciated that.
Right.
Because I don't like PC, as you know.
Right.
I'm not talking about computers. I love the PC.
Right.
Computer. Anyway.
There were reports last week that 24 may not return for another season, but now there are rumors that NBC may pick up the show.
Wow.
So.
Deep pockets over at NBC, ladies and gentlemen.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien, I really like this.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard this. Conan O'Brien has found something to occupy his time since being contracted to stay off television until September. Conan will be bringing a very similar version of his talk show on the road in a 30-city live tour.
That is hilarious.
That's awesome.
So he's just going to do a live show in 30 different cities.
Right. And Andy Richter's part of it. The band is in it. And like it's just like him doing the show, but live. Because he's still staying within the contract that he's not on TV.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Well, I bet they're going to be pretty serious about their no cameras policy at that thing.
right. But what's great about that, because I know part of his reason for doing this is he still feels bad about his staff.
Oh, I'm sure.
And, you know, it's a way for them to
so
all
now
be involved
is he,
and make
is
money.
He paying for all this out of pocket?
I don't know that much, no. But what do you think?
I think we should try to find out if he's going to be here and try to go.
Let's go. This is one of the cities.
Yeah, yeah. We should definitely try to go.
He's got a huge fan base here, so it's going to be a little difficult to get tickets.
When are they? Have the tickets already gone?
No. In fact, let me look on it again. When they announced this, there was, you know.
And are they free or do you have to pay for them?
No. Well, I'm sure he wants to make money.
Well, because you know, if you go to a TV show, they can't charge you to be in the audience.
Right. But
so,
this isn't that.
Right. This would be more like a concert kind of thing.
Right. And I would imagine wherever he goes, he'll have guests.
Yeah.
But
I would think so.
And I wonder how much of. I bet he can't do any of the skits. You know. Like the trademark skits of his, because I bet NBC owns them.
Right. Right.
So, you know, on this note, I don't have this written here, but I was looking last night at the ratings for The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And why are people? He's like right up there. He's like beating Dave right now.
I don't know what to tell you.
People went right back to him.
I don't get it.
I haven't watched a single minute since he's been back.
I haven't watched a single minute ever since he's been the host of The Tonight Show. I've never watched it since he's
been
the host.
Well, then you're doing your part for Conan as well.
So there you go. And for Dave. That was more out of respect to Dave than Conan, obviously.
Right.
But anyway.
Neil Patrick Harris, again in the news, will appear.
Yeah, oh, I will say I did not like his singing number at the beginning of the Oscars. I didn't think he sang very well.
No. No, and you know what? You couldn't really understand some of the words. I bet it was funny on paper.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Unfortunately, the show was broadcast on the TV screen and not on paper. Right. And so it didn't translate as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris will appear on an upcoming episode of Glee as a McKinley High board member who is also an old Glee Club rival of Will. The episode will be directed by Buffy creator Joss Whedon.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
So they say that if the dynamics work out, that he will come back for recurring
episodes. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Something else funny that I want to mention about that. On Community this week, one of the kind of subplots was that Jeff, you know, Joel McHale's character, his girlfriend, who's another teacher at the school, who's a teacher at the school, she dumped him.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of pretending like during the whole episode that it didn't really bother him. And then at the end, he has a moment with Chevy Chase's character and he kind of breaks down and, you know, and he's sort of like fake crying. I don't know if it was supposed to be real crying, but it was obviously fake crying. Right. And he's like, "We always watch the TV shows she wanted to watch. I hate Glee. I just don't understand the appeal." It was a really funny moment.
Speaking of Joel McHale, yeah, going completely off here, last week they had the Soup Awards.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they just.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a really funny segment where Chloe from 24, who's always so serious, came on dressed as Snooki from Jersey Shore. So she's completely orange and had like the bump. She's really funny, like doing comedy.
She looks like she, I mean, she's really funny on that show, even though her character is kind of a grump all the time.
But really, like when her stint on 24 is over. He should, well, I should call it a stint. She's been on for years.
Yeah.
But that might be a good direction
when
for
that
her.
Little thing she's doing on 24,
right.
When she's done doing that. I really like her character on 24. She's hilarious. What's her name again, the actor?
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you for that information. I told you there would be more, and there's the proof.
The seventh season of Top Chef will take place in Washington, D.C. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. When does that start, and when does Masters start?
Masters starts soon, April. So.
Oh, okay. So it goes through the beginning of the summer, and then regular Top Chef is a summer show?
I don't know.
There's
wasn't
four.
Wasn't in the article.
There's four items so far.
Fringe has been renewed for a third season.
Woohoo! And the writers are probably like, oh, crap, now we got to figure out what we're going to do with this. Because it kind of seems like they're wrapping up.
We never thought we'd be working this long.
It kind of seems like they're wrapping up the original storyline, you know, this season.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway.
Scott Kahn, James Kahn's son,
sure,
has been cast as Dano for the new Hawaii Five-0.
Wow. So he's going to be working
with...
I'm not
a fan of his.
Well, the only thing I really know him from...
He's in all the Ocean's movies.
Yeah. And...
he was in Varsity Blues, which I'm embarrassed to say I've seen. It's the James Van Der Beek vehicle.
Yeah. I like the way you say "the" as if there haven't been any others. I think I only know him from the Ocean's 11 movies, which I'm not a huge fan of anyway. I don't think those movies are that great.
No.
But, okay.
Undercover Boss has been renewed for a second season.
Wow, already? That was
quick. I have to be honest. I watched last night's. And
I think if you see two or three, you're pretty much done.
Exactly.
And I mean, unless you have some specific interest in
the company
that week. What was this week's?
Churchill Downs.
Yes,
and actually, part of it was filmed here at Arlington Racetrack.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They talked to Rick Duchessois, who owns Arlington Park?
No. I believe next week is you. Actually, there's a funny commercial for next week. I don't know. I don't remember the company. It's like UPS or Federal Express or DHL or something. And they show the you know, executive working on some like conveyor belt with all these packages, or they're coming through a chute. And so he's got to move into this other area. And he smacks the lady in the face with a package.
It wasn't for Purolator Courier. You remember that one?
Uh-uh.
You don't remember those commercials?
No.
Populator Courier? Percolator Courier? You don't remember that?
They're obviously no one remembers that.
Apparently
that's why
not.
They're not around.
Wow.
And as a result of a petition on Facebook being signed by over 500,000 people, Betty White will appear as a host on Saturday Night Live later this season.
You know,
I can't wait.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not that big of a Betty White fan. Like, I think she always adds a nice something to whatever she's in. But my fear is that with the way SNL has been the last couple of years, with the exception of like Kristen Wiig, and that's pretty much it. But the way it's been, I'm just afraid that it's going to be everything you would expect and nothing surprising.
Well, what I like about Betty White is she'll work blue. So
yes, she will.
I'm sure they'll use that to their advantage.
But that's what I mean. It's like you'd expect that to happen because
right.
You know she's so feisty.
Right.
You know what I mean? All right, cool. Well, that's it for TV. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about movies. Okay, we're back and it's time to talk about movies. What did you see this week?
Since
our last podcast, I should say.
Right. I have rounded out the Oscar movies that
did you finally see Precious?
Yes.
And?
Everywhere as uplifting and feel good as I thought it would be.
So it was horribly depressing.
It's pretty hard to watch.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, one of those that I would never watch again. I have to say the acting was amazing in it, with the exception of Mariah Carey, who sticks out like a sore thumb.
I didn't even know she was in that movie.
She's so terrible in that movie.
Yeah.
And probably every other movie she's been in.
Is she up or down weight-wise in that movie?
Down.
Yeah. She's pretty skinny.
Well, I don't know. She's sitting in a chair. She plays like a social worker.
Oh, okay.
And she's very like dialed down as far as like makeup. Like she's not wearing any makeup. And
so they didn't just like bring her over from the glitter set?
No.
Okay.
No. But you know, there's not much to say about the movie. I mean, it's well acted. It's, you know.
It's obvious why it was in the Oscars?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, certainly as far as acting.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the girl, Gabourey Sidibe, who was up against Meryl Streep and Sandra Bullock and lost to Sandra Bullock. She's great in it.
AKA Sandy. We like to call her Sandy.
Sandy B.
Sandy B. Exactly.
I also saw, and I don't have a lot to say about this movie. I just caught it because it was on cable, and I always kind of wanted to see it. And I do have a statement to make about it. I saw Year One with Jack Black.
I wanted to see that. Yeah.
I think it's really funny.
Really?
It got terrible reviews.
It looked funny from the previews.
Everyone I've talked to is like, oh my God, that's the worst movie. I laughed consistently throughout.
See, it looked funny from the previews.
And here's my thing.
I like
with
that stuff. First of all, Jack Black is Jack Black. So he's hilarious.
That's what I want to say.
And Michael Cera.
Is Michael Cera in it? That's what's great about this movie is whoever wrote or directed this, and I don't know how much of it is written and how much is improvised, but both Jack Black and Michael Cera are completely being how we know them in that movie.
Right. So it seems like it was really written for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I like that. I mean, Michael Cera's, you know, kind of humor
his
in that movie.
And self-deprecating.
I didn't know there was another part to this. I just got the holder thing. You know, like that whole thing is really funny. And Jack, you know, Jack Black just cracks me up.
Into it expecting to hate it and it'd be really stupid, but I laughed, I mean, through the whole thing.
Would you say it was a modern day History of the World Part 2?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Did you like all those movies, those Mel Brooks movies?
Yes and no. I love Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I don't love Blazing Saddles as much as a lot of people
do.
Yeah,
me either. But History of the World I thought was very funny.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
But what I wanted to say about this, you know, there are those people. There's, you know, Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, Jack Black. There's Ben Stiller. There are those people who, you know, in all their movies, they do their thing.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of them, you tire of their thing. Like, I'm tired. Well,
Vince
I
Vaughn
never liked Adam Sandler.
Another one, right.
But, like, pardon me?
Vince Vaughn is another one who's kind of like that. He's kind of always Vince Vaughn.
He's got his thing. Right. Yeah. And there are those that, like, if you really like their thing, you know, you'll like seeing Jack Black. I can't think of a Jack Black movie where I didn't like Jack Black being Jack Black.
Yeah. Did you see The Holiday?
No, you bring that up every time we talk about the
only
Jack
thing,
Black.
Well, you know why? It's the only thing I've ever seen him in where he was so different.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But it's still a great movie.
But he's consistently, like when he's being himself, is really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, more so than Will Ferrell or Ben Stiller.
I totally agree. But, you know, and then you have to ask yourself, is he funnier than those people, or is it just that you like that kind of funny better?
Oh, I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just love it when he does the whole like crazy eyes thing and the way that he uses his voice to, you know, you know what I mean? It's just like, you remember that movie Saving Silverman?
Yeah. There's he's really funny in that.
Great part in that where the guy is playing Silverman. What's his name? It was Jason Biggs, right?
Right.
Yeah. Says he actually says something about his girlfriend, like, oh my God, what if something happened to her? What if she was like kidnapped or something? He's like, what? No. Who would do that in a world? It's like just stuff like that is so classic Jack Black and so funny.
Yeah.
But King Kong was another one where he wasn't really Jack Black.
No. And
that was probably my least favorite Jack Black.
Right. I have to agree now that you mention it.
But then again, The Holiday was totally different, and I really liked him in that. No, I'm just saying, I'm trying to make the point that he doesn't need to be that to be good in something.
Right.
Because he really wasn't in King Kong very good. I didn't think. I just didn't like the way his character was directed, I think.
Right.
You know what I mean? But otherwise, I love that movie. It was a good movie. Okay, so I saw a couple of things. One, First thing we saw was we saw Green Zone in the theater the other day. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really great.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it wasn't not at all like a Bourne Identity movie. Okay. I mean, not even a little bit. It was a totally, it was a military movie. It wasn't a, you know, it was like a military political thriller, whereas the Bourne movies were like spy political thrillers. Right. And I thought it was very, very well done, very well acted across the board. There was a guy, you know, an Iraqi guy who went by the name of Freddie in the movie. He was excellent. And just a lot of really great performances, great cinematography, really tense.
Now, would you say you liked it better than the first Bourne?
No, because I love good spy movies. And I think Bourne Identity was one of the best spy movies that has been made that I've ever seen. The sequels I did not like. I thought right. The second Bourne movie was terrible. I thought the third one was a little bit better than the second one.
Right.
But no, this was definitely better than the Bourne sequels, but you know, again, totally different. Really good. I definitely recommend that if you like that type of movie. And then the other thing that we saw was a movie that I had seen before, but Amy had never seen it, and we were talking about it because we had seen a commercial for Kirstie Alley's TV show.
Uh-huh.
And so we were talking about, you know, how different she used to look when she was really skinny. And I brought up the movie Runaway, which was a Tom Selleck movie that was, and you didn't know, you said you didn't know this. It was written and directed by Michael Crichton.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, because at that time we didn't know who he was.
Sure. And
so if you had said it to me then, I'd be like, who?
Who? Right. And I probably, if I had said it to you then, I probably would have said Michael Crichton.
Right.
But yeah, so it's a sci-fi movie and Tom Selleck is the good guy and the bad guy is played by Gene Simmons. Mm-hmm. And the two female leads are Kirstie Alley, who's actually kind of secondary, and Cynthia Rhodes, who, if you remember, was the girl who got knocked up in Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
And
of Flashdance fame. And married Richard Marx.
You know that I have never seen Flashdance?
So
I didn't know.
It's very dated.
I didn't know that she was in it.
I don't know that you'd enjoy it now.
Would
have enjoyed it then.
Which would... You're probably right. That's probably why I never saw it. Which do you think would be harder to go back and watch now? Flashdance or Break Into Electric Boogaloo?
Break Into.
Okay.
No, you know, there's one thing about Flashdance, because I've seen Flashdance. Flashdance was directed by Adrian Lyne. It was one of his first movies.
Okay.
And cinematically and visually, it's very impressive.
Yeah.
Like, you know how he does that whole thing with steam and...
Who is he again?
He did, did a lot of stuff.
I
gotta look up.
No, they don't like the dead air.
No, that's dead air.
No, that's not dead air. That's a musical performance for free. Okay.
I would hardly call
that. That's like
a
free concert.
A musical performance.
That's like better than Summerfest in Milwaukee.
Okay. Even that I won't agree
right there.
With.
What? Hey, you know, Summerfest, I hate to say it, but Summerfest kicks the booty butt of Taste of Chicago or whatever it's called. Now.
He also did Jacob's Ladder.
Okay.
Indecent Proposal, Fatal Attraction, 9.5 Weeks. All those movies have the same.
The only one of those movies I've ever seen is Fatal Attraction.
You never saw
any of those?
Unfaithful?
Other...
He did Unfaithful?
Oh, that was terrible.
That
movie was
that.
Terrible.
I like that movie.
Wasn't that the one with Richard Gere? Yeah. And it was a dumb movie.
Well, that's because you don't like anything that messes with the sanctity of marriage.
No, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. Because
that's been your complaint about movies for a long time.
No.
Any movie that has adultery in it, you're completely offended
that's
by.
That's absolutely not true. In fact, that was one of my favorite things about Love Actually is that they showed that part of relationships, too, with Alan Rickman's character. I love that about that movie. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem is with the inequity of a woman's point of view on that situation versus a man's point of view. Like the example that I always use for that is when I remember when Bridges of Madison County came out, which I've also never seen, and all these women were talking about, oh, it was so romantic. Well, what was romantic about it? She cheats on her husband, and the guy was not from what I understand, he wasn't a bad guy. She was just bored in her relationship. In their relationship, so
right.
She cheats on him with this, you know, mysterious, sexy, out-of-town stranger. If that had been the other way around, they would have been like, oh, that guy's such a dirtbag. You right. know what I mean?
Well, then this movie shouldn't be... Well, I mean, you never said it. You just didn't like the movie.
Yeah, I just didn't
think... But I mean, this movie was the opposite of that. I mean, here, it was the woman who was bored and she kind of like... You know, bad things happen because she had an affair.
Yeah, but I think... you know, I don't totally remember the film, but I think then her husband like helps her cover it up or something, doesn't he?
Well, he's the one that he accidentally kills the for anyone who was going to go see this movie, I'm ruining it.
Don't worry about it. Oh, that's right. He accidentally kills the other lover.
Guy. And yeah. So, yeah.
But then they cover it up together, right? So yes. That they can just be okay together.
And no. Well, see, that's the great thing about this. That's the reason I really like this movie. And is how they handle it. At the very end, they show him, like, it's eating him up alive, the guilt of, you know, that he did this and he's getting away with it, whatever. So it ends with him and her in their car, like, in front of the police station, and then it ends. You don't know whether because his goal is to go inside, but you don't know whether he ever ends up going inside. Or
I just thought it was a dumb movie.
Like,
doesn't he also kill the guy with, like, a snow globe or something?
A snow globe, yeah.
Come on. I think that's the sanctity that I was disappointed that they messed with, the sanctity of snow globe collecting. Those things are expensive.
All right. I'm sorry. I interrupted. We went way off track.
That's fine.
While you were talking about Runaway. But,
anyway, so we watched Runaway, and, you know, it's actually a solidly directed and acted movie, except maybe for Cynthia Rhodes, not the best actor in the world, but, you know, still pretty good. She definitely had some good moments. The thing that kills that movie and why it's so difficult to watch now is the music by Jerry Goldsmith is so, like, it's like he had just seen Tron and he's like, oh, I want to do something like that.
Right.
Yeah, which
well,
is
what about like some
cool.
of the, well, I shouldn't say special effects, but like the robotics, like the little, like, remember the little spiders?
Yeah,
and stuff?
It was okay because it was.
It still stands up?
Yeah, it
or
was fine.
Or does it look ridiculous?
No, it was fine. I mean, okay. The thing was, is they didn't really focus too much on the like technical aspects of anything.
Right.
So the little spider robots looked like spiders because they needed to climb up walls and stuff like that. And so they were fine. I mean, a lot of things that people are building nowadays look a lot like that, actually. Some stuff was goofy, like in the police department, in their, you know, in the robotics, the runaway unit, which is what their unit was called. You know, they have like a lot of computer monitors and stuff, and they're the really old fashioned, like 8-inch black and white CRTs. But then there were also a lot of scenes where somebody had what looked like a tablet computer, which back then, I mean, was it didn't exist.
Right.
I don't even know if there were LED screens back then. So, you know, some of that, they mixed in some kind of cool stuff, and it's definitely pretty cheesy in places, but story-wise, it's actually a pretty, pretty cool story.
Yeah, 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb.
Well, you know, maybe they were all in a bad mood. How many people reviewed it? One?
3,330.
Wow. Okay. So there you go. Well, I wonder what its Rotten Tomatoes score is. You can look that up.
I'll look it up later.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got for movies you want to talk about. Miscellaneous
stuff. Sure. Alice in Wonderland made $116 million in its first week, making it the sixth largest opening in motion picture history. The film took first place again this past weekend and will surpass $200 million by the end of the week.
Wow.
That is pretty impressive. First of all, it's the biggest opening for a Tim Burton film.
Yeah.
And it is pretty surprising seeing that it didn't get, you know, great reviews, which is good. I mean, I think it's a good statement, meaning that...
Right. That people are willing to go and see it even despite that. Yeah.
I talked to a couple people that have seen it and they enjoyed it.
Yeah. I know somebody who absolutely loved it, and I know a couple other people who saw it and thought it was visually stunning, but just okay story-wise. And they were confused about who the audience was. Like, it was
Could they just turn around and see?
No, you know what I mean? It was like two adult for kids and two kiddie for adults. So they were kind of not too keen on that whole thing.
Despite earlier reports, Ron Perlman would play the father of Conan. I just keep wanting to say Conan. Playing the father of Conan in the upcoming Conan the Barbarian remake and not Mickey Rourke. Stephen Lang of Avatar has also been cast in the film as villain Kalar Singh.
Now, I forget. Who's playing Conan again?
No name.
Unknown guy?
I'm sure to his friends in that. He's someone. But
no, it's not somebody famous.
No.
Okay.
I mean, not
household
huge.
Name, right.
Yeah.
Well, he probably.
I mean,
be
I guess
huge.
He'd have to be pretty big
to
play
be Conan.
Conan.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
The release date for Oliver Stone's Wall Street sequel, Wall Street: Money Never Sleeps, has been pushed from April to September.
Maybe so they could come up with a better tagline than "Money Never Sleeps," which is a terrible tagline. Wall Street: Money Never Sleeps, an Oliver Stone joint.
Hugo Weaving is very close to being cast as the villain Red Skull in the Captain America film that's in the works.
I like Hugo Weaving. Although, did you ever see V for Vendetta?
No.
Okay. Then we can't talk about it.
You know, it was something I always wanted to see. I thought the trailer looked really cool, and anyone I've ever talked to was like, nah, it's
it
not
was
good.
Awful. Awful movie. Yeah. And wasn't that Wachowski Brothers? Didn't they do that?
No.
No?
No. They may have produced it, but they didn't direct it.
He's saying yes.
Yeah?
Brendan says yes.
Brendan might.
And he didn't hesitate. He made a point to look out here and nod. So I'm thinking he knows what he's talking about. Oh. And therefore, so do I.
You're teaming up on me. Actually, director James McTeague. So both of you can bite it.
So what did they have to do with it?
They wrote it.
Okay. But they also wrote the Matrice, right?
Yes. Freak. 80s heartthrob, and heartthrob in quotations. Corey Haim is
terrible.
Dead at
you're making fun of the guy. He's just died.
No, the reason I do it, you know, like when he was alive, we never heard he was a heartthrob. But all these things now about
him
dying.
Oh, come on, back then,
he was a heartthrob.
What?
He was a kid.
Back then. Like what was that movie he was in with the sunglasses on the poster?
License to Drive?
Yeah, License to Drive. There
he was
you go.
Like 14 then. You can't call someone 14 a heartthrob, can you?
You can to 14-year-old girls.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
I would have thought he was a heartthrob back
then. I just
then.
Thought it was weird. Like, all these things I'm seeing now about his death, it's that he was a former heartthrob. And I'm like...
What was he the most famous for? I mean, there's Lost Boys.
I would say Lost Boys.
And was he also in...
What?
The Goonies?
No, that's Corey Feldman.
Was he in Stand By Me?
Corey Feldman.
Was he in... So it was just Lost Boys and License to Drive? No, there was something else.
His first movie, which I used
Lucas.
To love...
Oh, Lucas. No.
Lucas, right.
Lucas, it was
right.
Lucas. Okay. So it was Lucas and then...
His first movie was a movie I loved in the 80s. Did you ever see First Born with Peter Weller and Terry Garr?
I don't think so.
I love it.
I love Terry Garr, though.
You know, actually, Corey Haim wasn't a bad actor.
No, he was
back
a good
in
actor.
Day. Yeah.
He was, I mean...
Yeah,
you
in
know.
Fact, he was probably better than Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman, another one of those people who's always Corey Feldman. And I'm not so sure that's a good thing. I'm just saying. So do we know how this young man died? Drug overdose? Drug related?
Yeah.
Some kind of
I don't think it
abuse.
Was like, I think it was like pills or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, always tragic.
Yes.
So we're ending movies on a sour note? No?
No.
Oh,
you
we've got more?
You wanted me to add something.
Oh, okay, good. Go ahead.
Predators.
Oh, yeah.
You just told me, write down Predators.
Well, I don't have it written down. That's why I told you to write it down.
I know.
So if you're interested in the new Predators movie that's coming out, whenever it's coming out, go to predators-movie.com and check it out there. There's all sorts of new stuff there. I'm potentially looking forward to that. I mean, that could be good.
What does the preview look like?
I have not looked at it.
If it's just the word Predators being flashed on the screen.
No, I know for a fact that there's
a complete waste of a minute and a half.
30 seconds. I know for a fact there's some kind of little animation going on there that has like the little Predator language, which is always a cool thing to see. Some kind of countdown timer or something like that. So shut it off before it hits zero or your computer's toast. But no, I mean, you like the original, right? What do you mean,
eh?
What?
Yeah, even then.
Come on.
It was bad.
Oh my God. All right. Starting a new poll on Facebook. Was Predators a good movie?
No. You know, seeing how
a great movie,
a weird Al poll
or
went,
a bad
I'm not
movie.
Laying any credence to these polls.
Well, you can't say that. These are our fans. These are the people who listen to the show. You can't just discount their opinion.
Right.
So let's hear it, folks. Predator. Good, great, or bad, like Tony says, who is probably wrong. So we'll look forward to the results
well,
on that
for
one.
Thanks for slanting it.
No, I haven't done anything that wasn't already out there. All
right,
that's it.
Truly all I have.
That's it for movies. We're going to take a little break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else in the old mashup. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The moosh moosh.
London's Strata.
Hold on.
Whoa.
I have an update.
Oh, boy.
Just in the break, I found a... correction I need to make on something I've said earlier. The Conan O'Brien.
Usually we have to wait a week for this.
Right, I know. No, this is. I'm right on it. The Conan tour.
Yeah.
That I was referring to.
Yeah.
Apparently it has gone on sale.
Yeah.
Both of the shows in Chicago at the Chicago Theater already sold out.
What?
And all the money that he's making from it going to his staff.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That's. I can't believe that.
Wow. I wonder if I work for him, because that'd be good. Because then I would get some of that.
So much so that they now call him Saint Conan.
Aw, just like a puppy.
Okay. Oh, is that like a puppy?
I was thinking Saint Bernard.
Oh, all right.
Also a savior in many respects.
Yeah.
If you think about it that way. Didn't somebody else do that? Oh, didn't Letterman do that during the strike or something where There was some strike going on, and he paid people.
I thought that was Conan.
Oh. Well, wouldn't they have called him St. Conan back then?
Yeah, but now he's really St. Conan.
Okay. He's in the Saints Hall of Fame now.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't even know they had one of those. London's Strata is the first skyscraper to have turbines built in from the design up in order to take a step toward that city's mandate of new buildings being zero carbon by 2019. How are they going to do that? How is it a city like London? How are people going to only build new buildings by then that have a zero carbon footprint? Doesn't that seem almost impossible?
I don't know.
Oh. Anyway, the 485-foot-tall, $175 million, 42-story strata will get about 8% of its power from the three turbines at the top of the building. I don't know where the rest of the power comes from, so don't even ask me. No. I did try to get in touch with them to ask them, but, you know, they're sleeping right now, so.
Oh, you just tried to get in touch with them.
No, it was this morning, but it was, I mean, it was already, you know, whatever, right. 6, 7 o'clock their time.
So we may have a follow-up to this story.
We may have a follow-up, if anyone cares. Discovery Store has a 10-inch globe, you know, a globe of the Earth, yes, that uses electronic induction to float above its base and turn, while also showing nighttime lighting density across the world. So it's really cool. So it's basically as if you were looking at the Earth from space at night, and you can see all the places that, you know, use lights and how dense that lighting is, across the whole planet. It's $90, which is kind of expensive, but still, that's pretty cool. And it floats. I pay $90 for just about anything that floats. Well, not anything.
Soap?
No. Okay, I'm just going to move on. Remember the Juju, which was formerly the Crunch Pad? It just got an OS makeover, probably in order to compete more directly with the iPad, and it's set to be released in a couple of weeks, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Have you seen anything like visually of the Juju?
I think I saw this news on Engadget, so if you go there and just look up Juju, by the way, it's J-O-O-J-O-O, then you should see a picture.
Not J-E-W-J-E-W.
I'm sorry. What program are we doing here today? That was the most non...
Actually, it's really attractive.
It looks really nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Some of Fuji's new cameras not only include face detection for people, but for cats and dogs as well.
I also hope it has, because this is an issue. Obviously, that's what my camera is doing most, is taking a picture of my dogs.
Yeah.
I hope that in addition to having red eye correction, it has green eye correction.
Yeah, because cat and dog eyes are not the same as people eyes.
Right.
So I think the cat ones are red, but the dog ones
are... I'm not a cat person. I'll never take a picture of a cat, unless it's one that I've hit with my car.
Oh, my God. What is with you all of a sudden this afternoon? That's two terrible things you said in the span of about 2 minutes.
How is Juju a bad thing?
Well, who would name a portable computing device that?
Steven Spielberg.
There's a rumor that the iPhone...
You're just going to move right ahead, aren't you?
Yeah. There's a rumor that the iPhone 4.0 software will include actual multitasking. Did you hear that?
Wow.
I know.
I
wouldn't that be
that.
Crazy? That would be crazy. Video game... I already read that. Never mind. That was the thing about OnLive. Not really launching the way we all thought it was going to launch. In other rumor news, there's another rumor that the Zune HD 2... will be like the iPod Touch in that it'll be both a PMP and run apps, presumably running Windows Phone 7, just, you know, without the phone.
Right.
Like the Touch. Google's apps marketplace is open with about 50 apps available already. These are similar to Facebook apps in that they have access to your calendar and Gmail and documents and contacts and all that sort of stuff if you let them. Of course, you'll need to have one of Google's free hosted domain apps accounts to get access to the apps marketplace. And presumably there will be a zillion more apps in the coming weeks and months. Cisco's new CR3 system aims to improve the foundation of the internet itself, offering a claimed 322 terabits of data routing per second. Now, this doesn't have to do with how fast your connection speed is going to be. This is just the stuff that allows really fast connections to actually happen whenever the carriers get around to implementing them. But just to put that into perspective, according to Cisco, that translates into enabling the entire printed collection of the Library of Congress to be downloaded in just over 1 second, every man, woman, and child in China making a video call simultaneously, and every motion picture ever created to be streamed in less than 4 minutes. In other words,
wow,
it's fast. So Comcast, get on the ball. That's all I'm saying. If you want one of TiVo's new Premiere boxes and you have an HP MediaSmart server EX490 or EX495, There's some good news for you because you will be able to move TiVo recorded programs onto your MediaSmart server and back again. Plus, you can manage your recordings from the MediaSmart server, which is very cool, actually. You know, a lot of people use those things to not only store all of their, you know, audio, video stuff. What?
Their widgets.
No, I wasn't going to say widgets. I was going to say all of their audio and video files for a whole house. But the MediaSmart servers will also back up all of the computers that are on your network to there as well. So
they'll back that thing up.
They'll back that thing up, exactly. Kojiro is a robot from JSK Robotics Lab at Tokyo University, which is sort of seen as the future of robotics. Rather than joints being controlled by, well, you know, you never know. Rather than joints being controlled by heavy motors, small lightweight motors are used to pull about 100 tendon-like controller devices, making the robot function more closely to how the human body works. Kojiro also has a spinal structure similar to humans, and the best part is that it's controlled with a PS2 controller. So wow. In the video of it, you see a guy like moving
the robot. That's not even a six-axis controller.
No, it's wow. That was, I'm surprised you even know what that means. Well, you're not really into robotics, sorry.
It does everything.
Okay. This is a PS2 controller.
I know.
It's a whole different world.
I know.
British scientists claim to have figured out a way to extract hydrogen from water with 60% efficiency, which is crazy good.
Yeah, come back when it's at 90.
Okay. Somebody here is very tough to please today. Check out pause.com, finally, for new videos of Microsoft's Courier dual touchscreen tablet computer, which looks like about the coolest portable gadget in the history of portable gadgets.
I agree.
It is so amazing.
Totally cool.
Amazing. You just have to go watch the videos. It is so cool, yeah. All the stuff they show you doing with this thing. Well, they don't really show you doing it. They show a cartoon hand doing it, but
right.
That's close enough to me, for me. So that's pretty much all I have for the old mashup. Anything else you want to add?
No.
All right. Well, that means, as always, that right now it is time for our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, as you are often wont to do, please give us your worst.
I hope I don't get in trouble for this.
Oh, boy.
But right now there is at my hotel a cast and crew staying at my hotel because they're in town shooting a TV pilot.
Okay.
And I've never said what hotel I work at, so I mean this –
right.
May save me. and so there are some stars staying there.
By the way, you might want to keep a close eye on the Facebook page to make sure that nobody outs you on this one. So if somebody on there knows which hotel you work at, it's a, oh, really? They're staying at the... You might want to erase those comments.
I hope that you just saying that isn't going to spur them to do that.
Well, hopefully you don't have any
enemies. Because I'm breaking a little confidentiality, you know,
right. Sure.
Clause in my, in my employment. But... But so I'll talk a little loose, but anyone with any brains can figure out what I'm going to say.
Okay.
So there are some stars staying there, some that I don't know.
Okay.
And there was one star that happened to, you know, come into the bar, and a very attractive woman. And so I thought I'd look her up on IMDb. And she was very nice. We had a conversation.
Yeah.
But had I known her IMDb, you know, resume when I had met her, I would have certainly talked to her about voicing Alex Vance in Half-Life 2, best video game ever.
So cool. And now, have you seen her again since that first conversation?
I'm obviously not going to stalk her, but but oh, how great it would be to just like bend her ear about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And to see if she knows anything about Half-Life 3.
Oh,
you know that's my first question.
Oh my God.
You know that's my first question.
Oh my God. Oh, you've got to ask. I think you should stalk her. Do you want to say what her name is?
No.
Well, anybody can look it up. What difference does it make?
Because then I'm saying the name of a guest.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay.
I'm going to look for ways, if I ever get busted with this, I'm going to look for ways to skirt.
You should be a politician. That's very clever. That's really cool. Yeah. But so how is this your worst entertainment moment?
In that I found out after I had met her.
I see.
And I may never see her again.
I gotcha. Okay.
So, I mean, I was, you know, this close to,
right.
Right. You know,
to Half-Life 2.
To meeting Alex Vance.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, did anything give it away in the conversation? Like, did she ever say... You don't talk much, do you? Or anything like that? No. Or did she say
no
anything?
No one will ever say that to me.
Did she say? No, that's probably true. Did she ever say anything like, we don't go to Ravenholm anymore? Because that would have been cool. If you see her again, you should give her $1 just to say that.
Yeah, she'll love that.
Hey, I'll give you $1 if you say this line from this game you did. How'd you like working with Robert Guillaume? Was that fun? Because wasn't her dad, her dad... Yeah. Played by Robert Guillaume.
Yes.
My worst entertainment moment of the week has to do with wireless technology because I got I subscribe to Clear. Now, I will say something very cool about Clear. You know, Clear is WiMAX, basically. It's 4G, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the same service is resold by Sprint and by Comcast. I bought it directly from Clear, however. And what is really strange is you do not have to get a contract. You can just do it month to month, and the cost is exactly the same. The only difference is that you have to buy the modem, which was $60. So why wouldn't you do that? That's a great deal. $40 a month for unlimited 4G data, plus you get like 300 megabytes of 3G data or something like that, and then $60 for the little modem. So that's all really cool. The not cool part is that I have as yet been able to actually get it to work. So I guess $60 for something that doesn't do anything is really not a good deal.
No.
But I'm hopeful that maybe it's just because, you know, they're still rolling it out in a lot of places. And we're kind of where this office is kind of in the sort of northwest
gray
outskirts
zone.
Of. Yeah, it's a gray
zone. Just bit my tongue when I said that. Gray zone is what I meant to say.
Did that hurt?
Yeah, a little bit.
So yeah, I'm hopeful that it actually works somewhere because otherwise it's sort of pointless. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. You can just sign up online and then a couple days later in the mail, you get a little box that has your modem and you just plug it in, run the software. And what's really cool is instead of sending the software on a CD, they send it on a USB key. So you just stick the USB key in your computer. That way, if you're using it with a netbook, you can still install it with just what came in the package and you don't have to like burn a ROM ISO onto a USB key. It just all installs off of there. I thought that was a very good idea that they had to do that.
Cool.
But yeah, it doesn't work. So I'm still kind of going back to that.
Very sucky.
So anyway, so what was your best entertainment?
Oh, easily. So easy to say it twice. Avatar losing for Best Picture.
That was your favorite thing?
Oh my God, by far. I was so, all credibility from the Academy would be lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't hate Avatar. I just certainly don't think that it was the best picture of the year.
No, I would agree. And then not even having seen
I mean, it certainly won all the awards it should have won.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
So it did win technical awards and stuff like that?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Then that seems like justice has prevailed.
And I'm not even going to say that, you know, James Cameron. Wow, that's a big slip. I'm not even going to say that James Cameron shouldn't have won Best Director because, I mean, look at all he's achieved with that movie.
Sure.
So, I mean, him losing, isn't a big thing for me. It's the fact that I don't think the movie deserved Best Picture.
Right. So, Catherine Bigelow?
Yeah.
Won Best Director?
Yeah.
Wow, that's like a double smack. Because not only did he lose, especially he lost to his ex-wife.
And he was sitting directly behind her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In many ways, if you think about it.
And if I could be a little catty, you know what's funny? A lot of people were saying, well, Steve Dahl was saying, he was there with his current wife, who I don't want to say anything really mean, but she looks a lot older than she probably is.
Does she look older than him?
She's very skinny. Yes.
Okay.
She looks like an old lady.
Oh, really?
And let's keep in mind, this is the woman from Titanic, the one with the grandmother who lost the necklace.
What?
That's who she was in Titanic. She's the actress from Titanic whose grandmother...
Oh. I thought you meant the grandmother was his wife. I'm like,
no,
what?
No.
Yeah, okay.
She was...
What is her name? I can't remember her name.
I don't know. Does it matter? Because...
Da,
I'm not even looking.
It's da, 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 da,
she's
da,
the woman from Titanic.
Okay.
Can't we just leave it at that?
the gold digger who wanted the big rock, basically.
Yeah. In life and in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you know her personally to say that?
No. Okay. No. But what I'm going to say is that, like, that's probably the third slap in the face is that, you know, Catherine Bigelow is still, you know, it's attractive.
So let's look at the timeline here.
Next to a Skeletor wife.
Let's look at the timeline here. James Cameron does Titanic, shortly thereafter, married to Linda Hamilton. I mean, sorry, Terminator.
Right.
Shortly thereafter, married to Linda Hamilton. Then he does Titanic, shortly thereafter, married to the chick who was in Titanic. How long until he's married to Zoe Saldana? That's what I want to know.
If it's up to her, very long. another person who needs to eat a cheeseburger.
Zoe Saldana?
Yeah, did you see her at the Oscars?
No.
Oh, like 80 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
I don't remember her being that skinny in Star Trek.
I don't either. Did she look unhealthy?
Yeah.
So we definitely need to officially add her to the cheeseburger list.
Yes.
Okay. If anyone has her mailing address, please let me know so we can send her a cheeseburger. We might send her a double if it's that bad. If it's that bad. My best entertainment moment of the week is, and let me just say that I would almost like to have two worsts this week because of how bad American Idol was.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, my best was Green Zone. It was really, because we went into it thinking, oh, we're going to see a fake Bourne Identity movie. How good could it be? But we wanted to see something kind of action-y. So we went to see it, and we were both really, really pleasantly surprised with it. It was just a very solid movie. The only thing is there's an actor, the only gripe I had with it at all is one of the actors in it, who I've seen in a million things before. He's the guy who played Mad-Eye Moody in the Harry Potter movies. You know who I'm talking about?
No.
That actor. You'd recognize him if you saw him. He's a fine actor, and for the most part, his acting is good, but he's not as skilled in hiding his British accent as some other actors are. So he always kind of sounded a little bit not quite American. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm looking on the page right now, and a lot of like Middle Eastern names. There's a lot of.
Well, it takes place in Iraq, so.
There you go.
There's kind of no surprise there. But I it was a really good movie, and like I said before, I definitely recommend it. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about? All right, well then, as always, thank you for listening. And of course, again, please go to Facebook where you can become a fan of our page there and leave us fun little comments and stories.
Keep your letters coming.
Keep your letters coming, and remember, Tony wants life lessons. Or some, I don't know, diary entries, whatever. Whatever it is that he wants, just send them to him. So that
I
he stops bugging me
master.
About it. He wants to be the puppet master. Yeah. But you want to be like an unofficial puppet master.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to later be like blamed for anything.
No. For any
puppetry
mishaps.
Or charged with anything.
Convicted? No, never convicted. So keep that stuff coming. Don't forget to email us at podcast@pause.com. And as always, we will see you next week.
Bye.